Hey guys, just a quick disclaimer before this episode kicks off. We did have some technical difficulties. Blake's mic was not picking up, so his audio is recorded directly to his computer. It's going to sound a lot like how I'm sounding right now, which admittedly is not great. However, it's just our second episode, and we ask that you stay with us. We did invest in some really nice mics. Invested in a lot of our time and a lot of our research and a lot of a good amount of money just trying to make this thing sound and feel as professional as we can. But the truth is we're not pros. This is something that we're doing in our free time as fans of soccer, as fans of Sacramento sports, and we're trying to get this thing off the ground, and we really appreciate that you stick with us. One more note, really quick, we do need to issue a correction from our last episode. The Sacramento Gold, also known as the Sacramento Spirit, in their first year was not in the top flight of American soccer. They were in the second league of the American soccer pyramid. So just wanted to get that out there. Thanks to the couple of people that pointed that out to us on Twitter. And yeah, go Republic.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my. Do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance. And it rolls in. Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento King.
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast, home opener edition. I am your host, Blake Marquez, joined as always by Richard Ivanowski. How you doing, Rich?
I am stoked, man. I'm stoked. The Republic didn't quite get the result that I think we were hoping for, but all the same, a new season is here. It was a really, really enjoyable experience for me to watch the game from home. But you had an even better experience. You were there. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was there. It was a great atmosphere. I showed up about an hour and a half before the game. Wanted to check out some of the tailgates that the Tower Bridge Battalion was throwing. And it was awesome. They people were really stoked. Had kind of a reunion feel to it. I don't know if the Tower Bridge Battalion folks hang out outside of games or during the off season, but it felt a lot like a reunion, which is always fun. Go into the stadium, great food, great DJ playing, everyone excited, kids kicking soccer balls around. Some kid came up to me and asked me if he could mag me. Definitely didn't let him, but he tried. went up to the stands about 10 minutes before the game, 10 minutes before the kickoff, that is. Met some people. Everyone just overall really, really excited to be there and start a new season for our seventh season in the USL, in existence, actually. But yeah, it was just overall just a fantastic time. What did you think of watching your first USL game outside of the stadium on TV? What did you think of it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've been to some games before, but it is definitely a different vibe on TV. We've talked about it a little bit off air that it can kind of be an advantage if you're trying to really analyze or I enjoy watching Kings games from home because I can rewind and, I can track stats on a separate page. I can work on my computer. I don't mind it at all, but obviously it's give and take. You're losing the feeling of being a real supporter, a real fan in the stadium. You're losing that vibe of the supporters there. Obviously you can be a fan from home. I mean, we know that Sacramento has fans all over the world. Also, we've actually already got a listener in the UK, so consider this podcast internationally known. Just kidding. We're not getting ahead of ourselves here. But yeah, no, I mean, it was a great experience to watch from home. Something is lost, to be sure, but I think it's also, there's also something to gain with really being able to track each player. You know, you've got a good view of everybody, and I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was, I definitely feel like there was, it was great to be able to do both, go home and watch the game after. I had kind of the, I felt the momentum in a different way that I did when I was at the stadium and when I did at home watching, having the ability to watch replays, having the kind of the training wheels, my tactical and analytical training wheels of having two experts on TV kind of giving me things to watch for. But definitely noticed a lot of stuff just being at the game, and just awesome, awesome stuff that we'll get into as far as style of play and lineups and that kind of stuff. Speaking of lineups, Rich, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, man, let's get right into it. I'm just going to run it down real quick, and then we'll get some reactions to the starting 11. We had Grinwis in goal.
Fantastic.
Bajarona, Sargis, Keenan, Mahoney on the back line. Skundrich, Penagos, Wither Aminu as midfielders. And up front, Werner, Iwasa, and Bijev. Now, I think I just need to get to it right away. Two of these guys are 17 years old, and they were big surprises in the starting lineup for me and for you, I believe, as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't expect these kids to get a lot of playing time, let alone a lot of starts. I expected two or three starts for the season in some less important games, as much as a home opener is important. But these kids came in as starters and did amazing. Like, I couldn't be more impressed by both of these guys. Sargez just really played a lot like our old friend in the back, Mitchell Tainter. He played just like him, sending long balls forward, bypassing that middle part of the field. And Mario Penagos, man, he did awesome. Like, just these kids looked like they're seasoned vets. They truly did. Like, I'm not trying to be cliche with that. They looked really good, had a lot of confidence, and played exactly the way we wanted them to. So super excited to see these guys blossom into their careers as professionals.
Yeah, that's no joke at all. Sargis especially, I was really, really, really impressed with. I think you were saying that you, when you watched him, you were like, where's the, which one's Sargis? Because you couldn't tell which one the kid was. Like, this guy is a big kid. He plays well. He plays a grown man's game. And you're absolutely right. Like, the long balls that he was hucking downfield, especially when he connected with Bijev, he was doing a lot, making nice tackles, and really, really on point with the long ball. Sometimes, you know, kicking it all the way across the pitch as well as down it. Like, he was on target from, you know, 50 yards. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. If for those listeners who do remember the days of Mitchell Tainter, man, he played like him. Like, that's one thing I loved about our games back when he was around, and what I loved about him, that he was able to send those really accurate, long, driven balls into the final third to jumpstart our attack. And Sargez showed his ability to do that, and with him being so young, it's only going to get better. And just to give Mario a little bit of love too, he led our press. One thing that people, you know, that I think people are really excited about, and I know I'm really excited about, is the way this team presses the ball when they're defending, when they're without the ball. And Mario was running at these guys like he wasn't 17 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So it was great. I'm super, super proud of these kids.
That's the first couple notes that I had on this game. I mean, first of all, the Republic had all kinds of chances in the first 15 minutes. I mean, even the first 5 minutes, they were all over
They were all over Tulsa. They, like, the possession was, I would say the ball was like really kind of stuck on Tulsa's side of the field with Sacramento attacking for the majority of the first 15, 20 minutes. There was a couple, you know, with a couple exceptions, but for the most part, Sac Republic was on the attack. And yeah, like you said, when they would turn the ball over, this is called, I'm not familiar with the terminology as much as you are. I am a newcomer to soccer, relatively speaking. This is called the press. When they turn it over, they'll just immediately swarm to the ball.
Yeah, it could be like it's a press or a counter press. I'm not super key on the like explaining the differences. It's almost I can kind of like more like watch, like notice the difference when I see it. It felt like a little bit of a hybrid because there was a lot of like it seemed like there was a lot of getting behind the ball and then running into it into that press. It was just overall the pressure. It was almost used to like, let's go get that ball back right away. And even if we, you know, even if we don't get the ball back, we're going to force this opponent to make a bad pass out of the back where when it comes into the midfield, we're going to get it there. People stepping up into passing options, passing lines, and, really just making it hard, putting a lot of pressure on the opponent.
Gotcha. You know, and the other guy that was kind of a semi-surprise, not really because of the way that he's played in the preseason, but your guy Bijev, this is your favorite player on the team, if I'm not mistaken. And he got the start, and he looked like he should be a no-question starter. I thought he played incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been weird for Bijev during his during his career overall, but during his time at Sacramento Republic, he's been more of a rotational player. I can't really speak to why that is. I've always been impressed with the way this guy plays. If I had to take a guess, it would be more of like a style of play. Maybe not really the way the other coaches were wanting to see their wingers play, but he seemed to play really different in this game, was really had a lot of great results, literally won us the game in a comeback against Real Monarchs in our final preseason game. And just this guy's looking like he's going to be an out and out starter and not even an out and out starter, looking like he's going to be a cornerstone in this team.
I totally get it. Like this was one of my first notes was like, I totally get why this is your favorite player. I think you've described it before as intent. I would say even urgency. Like he is, when he's passing the ball, he is passing it with force and speed and pace. And he so often got up on that wing and just whipped a ball in. Even like shorter passes, he's just got a rocket and like, there's nothing lazy about his game. There's nothing complacent about his game, and I really appreciated that.
No, yeah, he's an amazing passer of the ball. Short passes, they go unnoticed because they're just smaller. But those long balls, those crosses, and those through balls, he knows how to pass the ball. I love this guy. The way he plays, the way he can drive a ball is awesome. Also playing surprisingly free. I think overall the Republic played very, very free. Seemed like players were given the ability to go where they wanted as long as they took each other's spots. And I can give you a great example of that later on when we get into the goal. But Bijev was really free. Like he went everywhere. I saw him drop really low down like by the corner flag and defend, go all the way up into the opposite corner, into the opposite back corner. At a certain point, him and Warner, who was playing on the opposite side, did switch, but it wasn't uncommon to see Bijev run over to that side and help Warner out. It was really awesome to see this guy just go play some soccer.
Yeah, that was, these two are probably my like early candidates for my favorite two players on the team, in Sargis and Bijev, because there was a few times where they connected and it was just a deep ball and it was going from, it just, you see like the intent and then you knew that Bijev was going to swing it in or he was going to do something, cause some havoc. He connected with Bijev a few times there, especially this one part on the broadcast where some fan was yelling at Sargis, like, pass it, the goal is that way, the goal is that way. And then he just, like, absolutely wrecks a long ball to Bijev, and it, I'm like, and he's like, okay, good job. That, there's a particular moment where that happens. Yeah, it's so funny.
You know, that's another great thing about, like, being at these games is you have people that have experience in all facets of the game, and I can't speak towards any particular fan's knowledge, but I thought that was great timing, and it speaks to, you know, like, whenever it's funny, and I'll get on this real quick and then we can move on. It's funny when you see this level, soccer is obviously a game played at all levels all around the world, and it's very easy to be like, you know, oh, American soccer, it's not good, let alone second tier American soccer, it's terrible. And I've heard comments of people saying, oh, we play like this on Sunday leagues and blah blah blah. It's like, there's levels to this game. Like, these players are definitely much better than any Sunday league player, and just those, some of those passes are like, speak to it.
Yeah, and there was another highlight from Sargis that I don't think made it onto many highlight reels because it was a defensive play, but he had a really tricky tackle, and then immediately the tackle sent him to the turf, and he immediately had to spring up off the turf and use his head to clear the ball. And it was just a really, really impressive display of athleticism. And yeah, that one really stood out to me. Unfortunately, on that play, there was a late whistle giving Bajarona a yellow card. And I wanted to just get your feelings on the amount of yellow cards in this game, because that was the first play that kind of started a storm of yellow cards there.
Yeah, I lot of people were talking about that. That was one of the bigger talking points of the game, was the officiating. I thought the ref called it pretty fair. As far as calling fouls, I think he kind of drew the line in the sand on, like, here's the amount of contact we're making. Here's the amount of, here's how rough we're going to be tonight, boys. Like, he called that pretty consistently. I didn't like his consistency of from foul to foul calling, like, a yellow to just a regular foul. I didn't think it was as consistent. The foul you were speaking of on Bajarona was like right before that, a Tulsa player had did something pretty similar, and it was like, why, how is that a yellow and the other one wasn't? They were both fouls, but one was a yellow, one wasn't. It was just kind of a awkward called game, but it is what it is. You know, you have to adapt to that kind of behavior from a ref. They're doing their job.
Right, for sure. And then just quickly after that, I wanted to check in with you about this chance that Iwasa got near the end of the first half. It was a pretty clean look, right?
Really good look. Off balance. I'm not going to say that he should have done anything different. I believe he chose to swing at it with his left, which extended him a little bit. I almost felt like maybe taking an extra step and running through it with your right could have been a better option. But again, it was a good look. Great ball. Was it Bijev that sent that one in?
You know what? I don't have that in my notes right here.
That's okay. Anyways, I would say, just off the fact of it not being a goal, the cross was a much better piece of that puzzle than the finish was. But with the way he went at it, with that left foot, it's not crazy to see it go over the goal. Go over the crossbar there. So it is what it is. I'm glad that we were able to throw one in the back of the net soon after.
Right, and let's get into that right here. This was lovely. I mean, this was really lovely. It started with Sargis, off a long ball, of course, all the way up to Bajarona, who was getting up there, man. Bajarona was getting deep in the attack, and he collected it beautifully, on his second touch, sent it to the top of the box for Skundrich, who pulled it back, basically shook four defenders on that move, and punched it through. I mean, there was five white kits right there. He snaked it through them past the goalie, and for the first goal of the 2020 Sac Republic season.
Yeah, it was a great ball by Sargez. Then Bajarona being the one that was able to send in that assist, the cross. That speaks to how free this team is playing. I had to rewind it twice because I was like, where's Bijev at? I'm like, okay, maybe yeah. Bijev is like cutting into the middle a little bit by the top of the box. And I looked, I was like, he's not there. Where's he at? And then if you watch it, right when Sargez does his little fake with the first time and then takes it the second time, you see just the top of Bijev's head. So he's all the way down where Bajarona should be, and Bajarona's all the way up there. So it's awesome. Like, I love free play or a free style of play, but the number one rule there is you have to take that person's spot. If Bajarona's all the way up there, someone needs to be all the way down here. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening.
Got it.
And then just to speak to the finish, nice pullback. Really, really nice pullback. There's nothing better than watching a game where you see defenders just ball watching, where a defender will go boom this way and then boom that way, and then the goal, like the strikers, like literally almost just playing with them. So fun to watch that happen. It sucks to see as a defender myself, but it's really pretty to watch when you have four people just jumping back and forth.
He
defending could have been better by Tulsa.
He legitimately got four guys like on the fake. It was nasty work. Sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, when you do that to someone, I would have liked to see better defending from Tulsa, but they were exposed and they reacted like a team that was exposed. Everyone jumped at the opportunity to go get him on his right, and then when he pulled it back to his left, there was no one there. So he did his job. They reacted the way he had hoped. When that happens in FIFA, or when we're playing like pickup soccer, we always ask people like, "Hey, where are you going? Where are you going?" And he asked all four of those defenders, "Where are you guys going?"
Yeah, and that was in the 42nd minute, which takes us pretty much into halftime. So that wrapped up a pretty dominant first half. Possession wasn't super one-sided, 53% to the Republic, but it felt more than that just because they were on the attack so much. They had seven shots, and four of which were on goal in the first half. And of course, they were up 1-0. And the second half did not go nearly as well. My first note here is that this is where I saw Werner getting really involved. He was doing a lot. He was getting some chances. I think a few of them were not not the most well hit balls, but he was doing a lot. And then Bijev, do you remember this highlight where he took the ball off a defender's foot and curled one just over the bar?
Yes. And that speaks to Mark Briggs kind of talking about wanting to be more clinical. And I couldn't agree more. This is a great example. Nothing to take away from Bijev's performance. This happens. Definitely could have been more clinical there. I loved the pick that he did. Perfect body control with a little spin to get it back onto his strong foot. Ugh. Tried curling it, went a little high, a little bit of a miss hit, but this is this shows the style of play works, but those little misses, they happen sometimes. So I'm not upset. This is a good push in the right direction for the whole season. Most of the season we have in front of us.
It would have been an absolute beauty too. Like, that would have been absolutely gorgeous. I thought that it might happen. If he had completed that pick and then curled that into the top left, yeah, I mean, that would have been a really, really...
That's a career highlight, right? I mean, that's a career highlight.
Absolutely. That's going on every highlight package for the team, for him, all that stuff. But yeah, that one and then the Owosa one we talked about earlier, those felt like really good chances. And then I noticed that Bajarona had a pretty gnarly tackle. It was a little bit late, and it set up Tulsa for a free kick in a really nice or a set piece in a really nice spot on the pitch. So I don't know. Tell me if this is a decent take on Bajarona. He's gonna win you points. He's gonna win you a lot of points, but he also might lose you a point here or there. He's just a little bit reckless, which I love. I love the energy, but he scares me a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, that's one of those things, Rich. You do this to me pretty often, where you'll say something and it's like, "Ooh, I haven't thought about that until you say it." But yeah, I think from the way this team play, that might be a lesser of the two evils conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I definitely want him on the pitch. I thought that, I mean, like the way that he was getting up, he got up a lot. Like he was maybe, I don't know. We'll get into it. I think he may have been the best box to box, best two way player on the pitch today, but we'll get into it in a little bit, in terms of kind of ranking who we thought was the best players of the game, men of the match, so to speak. But you know, is anything else stand out to you in the second half? I have kind of a down note here from Skundrich, who had scored the goal earlier, obviously, but I thought that he kind of really blew a situation later in the game where it was just a premature pass. There was a nice build-up. They were going forward, had an advantage, and he just kind of – he had plenty of space, and he blew a pass and turned it over.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with those, because I think less in soccer than a lot of other sports, there's forgiveness for that kind of stuff, because it's such a flow of a game. It's not uncommon to try a particular passage of play, what would be considered a play, quote unquote, in American football. It's not in particular to try a passing sequence multiple times before it works. That doesn't mean the first, second, or third time that we should give up on this passage of play, this passing sequence. It just means that it hasn't been there yet. And I kind of got that a lot from the way this team was playing, and probably that circumstance in particular. When you're trying to split a defense, for instance, just because it didn't come off that time, doesn't mean that you should stop trying it. You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense to me. And I'll just say that I think that I noted that moment down, but really it was more of a team thing where it just felt like things were getting a little bit sloppy and they were getting a little bit tired out there. And you know, that makes sense. We're around minute 65. 68 is where Roro came on for Penagos.
Yes.
What did you think about this sub, man? How was it seeing Roro back out there?
So when I saw that he wasn't in the starting lineup, I was like, okay, well, he's got to come on today unless he's injured. I was kind of asking people, is Roro hurt? What's going on? Why didn't he get the start? No one knows why he didn't get the start, right? But he came on, and the crowd couldn't have been more stoked. He just a huge roar, everyone excited to see him. and we spoke when we were reviewing the roster. Said he might be playing more of a box to box role this season, and he definitely played box to box in this performance. It may have been just because the way the game was going, and when he came in that he was given that role. But I don't hate the way he was playing. He looked willing to drop down and step in on a tackle if need be. And he was getting into the box a little bit and providing some of the playmaking that we needed in the moment. So it was awesome to see him back.
Yeah, I think that it's probably pretty clear that he's not 100% just yet. He's got some rust to shake off. He's got a little bit more of comfort to establish coming back from his injury. I think it's going to take a little while for him to get back in the flow of things, but yeah, I mean, definitely giving the effort, definitely out there, definitely, definitely stirring it up. And he did get a nice little look at the 75-minute mark, where Iwasa he chased down a defender, he forced some pressure, and the ball ended up at Iwasa's feet. Down on the goal line, and he was in an awkward position. He was pressured, and he got it out to Roro, who technically got a shot on goal, but he kind of had to reach back, and it didn't end up being much.
Yeah, that definitely could have been a better pass. That was another one where if that's weighted and placed where it needs to be, That's a shot on target. That is, was it on target? Actually, I don't quite remember I think it still was on target. Correct.
I think it was just a really weakly hit shot on target.
Right. Yeah. So it would have definitely challenged the keeper a little more had that ball been placed where it needed to go. But it was awkward. The angle, everything was pretty awkward about that that cutback. So I can't hold it against Cam. Can I give a little bit of an overview of his performance, or do you want to save that?
Yeah, no, please do.
I think overall from Cam, and this isn't to say anything about his playing. This is purely this game. One sentence: could have been better. It's gonna be better. This guy's gonna score double-digit goals. Like I'm not worried at all. But you mentioned some rust to be shaken off. I think the team has some players that has some rust to be shaken off. And he's one of them, kind of quiet overall, but, I'm okay with it. He led the press very well too. That's the one key note there that I'll put. Like that guy, like he was nipping at the heels of the opposition and really putting some pressure. So, and that's what you want to see from a striker. If it's not their day to score, if it's not their day to get a key pass, do your other roles, be a decoy, put some pressure on the opponents, like do some other things off the ball to help your team. And I think he did that well.
Yeah. I think it's time for us to get to the low point in this game, which of course was Tulsa's goal, in the 79th minute. It was Rodrigo de la Costa who put it in off a through ball from Lebo Moloto. And, man, this was a bad goal. I'll say that. This was a bad goal to concede, I thought. Again, I'm not an expert in soccer, so maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the way that this was executed. But the third sub had just come in from Tulsa, and it seemed like the Republic was just a little bit tired, a little bit out of position. And yeah, Rodrigo de la Costa just got it on a pretty simple long ball. Moloto passed it right between Werner and Roro. And yeah, I mean, de Costa had gotten past Mahoney, who I think did not have a strong game, honestly. And yeah, just beat the goalie right between his legs.
So I want to disagree with you on the simplicity of that pass. That was a good pass, Rich. That was a good pass. but I think something, and longtime Sac Republic fans, I believe a lot of Sacramento fans are going to agree with me on this. Sacramento, a lot of the time, is the better team in games. But we have this thing of letting teams back in it. I hope this isn't a trend with the way we've remade this team. New coach, new identity, new style of play, a lot of new players. That's what happened. We were the better team in this game. And as Briggs said, like a momentary, like one lapse in concentration.
Yeah.
And the team made us pay. Especially in defense, I thought we were so solid in defense, and they made us pay for our one mistake, and that's the game. That's one of the things I love about this game most, is goals are so hard to come by, but they can also happen in an instant off of an off chance, and they're so valuable that you have a team who is literally, like, I think unarguably the better team in this game. And the opponent walks away with a point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, that was a nice pass. It was a nice read. I guess where I'm coming from is it was a pretty straight line drive, and it takes a lot of skill and vision to read that opening. But it just felt like the Republic were kind of asleep in that moment. And it wasn't like some...
We made it simple, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't some undefendable pass if everyone was in position and alert. And, like, I don't think that, like, maybe that pass shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't something over the top or crossed in that, like, was just placed to a point where no one else could have possibly... Like, it was unstoppable. It just felt like... And maybe I'm influenced by the commentators who were pretty hard on Mahoney. For letting him, DaCosta get behind him like that. But, and at least the angles that I saw, again, we talked about the limited angle, on the telecast versus maybe being able to see the whole pitch there. But it just didn't look like, from the replay, like Mahoney's already like way behind him, chasing him. And he did look out of position.
You know, so that goal was scored coming towards the Tower Bridge Battalion, where I was sitting next to. And so I had a pretty good angle on it. I think Mahoney had a poor game. He had a below average game.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see someone in midfield step into that passing angle more. Because where Mahoney is, it's like maybe he should have been marking tighter. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been marking tighter, but that man that scored, he made a really good run. So once that run was on, Mahoney was already beat. Now that pass should have been blocked, in my opinion, by a midfielder stepping into that option. And if you watch it again, I don't know who it is. I believe it's Skundrich, actually. I think he had plenty of time before the pass was sent to realize that there's a hole there and step into it. I think Tulsa did good to take advantage of the chance they were given.
Right. It was just so shocking that, like, they were so clearly not – I mean, and that's how counterattacking teams work, right? Like, they're back. They play on their heels. They seem like they're getting beat the whole game. And then they get their opportunity and they take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good chance. Like, I honestly at this point, I just think it's kudos to them for finishing this in, you know, less clinical finisher, less opportune players could have sent that, you know, just off the post or just into the side netting, and it went where it needed to be. Just real quick, just to speak to that run again, like as soon as I was watching, and like I try to keep I try to watch with my peripherals because I'm watching the ball to see when stuff is sent, and but I'm also trying to use the corner of my eyes to kind of see where people are moving and what's going on. And a lot of the times it's not uncommon when I know a pass or, like, for instance, like a cross. I know a cross is going to get sent in. Like, let me not even pay attention to the person with possession of the ball. Let me see where people are running. And out the corner of my eye, I saw you might want to remind me of his name that scored, running in, making that diagonal kind of a J-shaped run. And it just seemed like it was as soon as I saw him jump to make that run, he had everyone beat. And that's when I said, oh no. And the cross came, or and then the pass came, and it was just good play by Tulsa. What else you got for me?
Yeah, you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I'll give Tulsa more credit there. You've definitely convinced me on that. But yeah, you know, there wasn't much else in this game that I had to mention. It just, the Republic seemed a little bit tired and beat. Apollon came on for Bijev at the 82nd minute, which is nice to see a guy that just walked on to this team get an appearance in his first game with the team. And there was, you know, a lot of wasting of time down at the end here, which, you know, credit to Tulsa for they're trying to get the win or trying to get the draw, get the point however they can. And it's, you know, that's what's going to happen. They stole a goal there at the end. They waited till the Republic retired. They took advantage. They got the goal and then they just ran out the clock. Yeah, I mean, you know, Werner came over and slammed the ball into one of Tulsa's players' chest to get him to hurry up as well. Finally, they did get a yellow for like a delay of game type situation where they were just leaving water bottles on the field and all that stuff, just trying to get the clock to run out. You know, 6 minutes of added time and Werner actually had a real chance on another beautiful little cross from Bajarona at 96 minutes, but it didn't go in, and that's it, man. That's the final score, 1-1. It's a draw to open the season for the Czech Republic.
Yeah, so let me speak on a couple of the little points you made real quick. I think Apollon came in, and he did awesome. Like, I mean, he didn't have much time to, like, really impressed, but just the way he was out there, fresh legs, was awesome. Just a great story. Like, I'm so excited for this guy. I want to see more of him. Seems to be a good winger, so we'll see what comes from him. I would have liked to see another attacking option come off the bench, especially with that goal coming, you know, the equalizer that came from Tulsa. I would have said throw on another attacker and let's really go attack these guys. But we don't have a lot of attacking options off the bench, which is what it is. I'm not going to speak negatively of it. It simply is what it is. Belmar is dealing with an injury, so it would have been nice to, you know, see him come on. But he wasn't an option. So it is what it is. As far as time wasting goes, that's a sign, like, to me, that's like really embarrassing. Like, you just scored a goal. You're equalized now. Like, it's really embarrassing that you're just wasting time, because you at that point you've admitted, hey, we are the least good team here. We're happy with this. It's like momentum just shifted your way. If anything, you should go try to go get another goal. But with how dangerous the Republic looked in those final minutes, it makes sense. It just, to me, it seems like kind of a cop out. So that's another is what it is. That Sam Werner chance, was it Sam Werner? That last chance in the 96th minute?
There were actually a few chances in added time. But yeah, the last one was Werner, I believe.
Yeah, that I looked at the guy next to me because it was like, it was a great save by the keeper.
Yep.
And that was kind of, I looked at him and I was like, that was it, huh? Like, that's going to be it. And we kind of just nodded. Like, and I think there was a couple more plays and the whistle blew. Great overall. Like, if I want to, like, give one player credit from Tulsa, their keeper. He kept them in the game.
So, it is. I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be. It's got to go to their keeper. I mean, seven saves. I just want to break down some of the stats here real quick.
Yeah, please.
Republic had 16 shots compared to Tulsa's four. that's rough. Republic had eight shots compared on goal compared to Tulsa's two, and Tulsa had seven saves compared to Republic's one. I mean, that's just a tough. That's a tough line when you're only coming away with a draw. But we got to wrap it up here pretty soon. I want to get your top three men of the match. I asked you to do this beforehand just to pick your three. I don't know your three. You don't know my three. I might be way out of left field here because, again, I am not a seasoned veteran of soccer, of understanding the sport. But I got three guys that I thought played amazingly, and I want to know who your top three are and put them in order for me.
Oh, in order. Okay.
Yeah. Third place, whichever way you want to go, first, second, third, or third, second, first.
Let's go third. I'm going to go third, second, first, do a little bit of a countdown version here, put on my VH1 hat. And,
yeah. And actually just give me your third and then I'll give you my third and then you do your second and we'll do it like that.
Oh, I like that. Okay, awesome. Oh, I'm really excited. Can you hear it in my voice?
Yeah.
So Wheeler Aminu, okay. I thought, you know, we didn't give him credit on this podcast, but that boy's at number six, huh? Like, I mean, man, yeah. He stepped up in the midfield. You shall not pass. Like, he's going to go ahead and protect that back line as anticipated. When he was brought in. So we didn't give him a lot of credit when we were talking about the game. I want to give him some credit here. Good play. He's protecting that back line the way he should be. Awesome.
That's a good choice. I probably went for a guy here that just was on ball a little more. Wheeler was more of a glue guy. I think he hung back a little bit, and he was important in that midfield, but I got to give it up to your boy, Bijev. Honestly, like, I thought that he played a really strong game, and I think I'm influenced a little bit just by what jumped out to me as more of a beginner of watching soccer. But, I mean, he had a lot of electric plays, and I was just excited every time the ball was at his feet. So I'm going to go with your boy, Bijev.
Okay, that's a perfect transition because I had Bijev in my number two slot. I think to speak to what you were saying, there's a current player who used to be more in the limelight named Mario Fellaini. Giant, like this dude, probably 6'6" midfielder, if not 6'7". Giant afro hair that probably put him over 7 foot, and he just stuck out on camera like a sore thumb. And I think Bijev's hair does that.
It does.
Like the brightness of his hair, and he's a pretty tall player as well, so I think that's what brings people's eyes to him, and he kind of just tend to watch him. So that kind of speaks to like you're like, oh, I, you know, being new to the game and him sticking out to you. But he had an amazing performance. I loved his free role. I am excited to see him probably become a cornerstone of this team. And I want to see if overall our team continues with this free movement of players and if he's still granted that permission to get all over the place. Yeah. What's your number two?
Number two is I had a tough debate here, but I'm going to go with the 17-year-old. I was really impressed by Sargis. I thought his quadrant, like his quadrant of the defense next to Bajarona there, I thought they may have been the best part of the pitch most of the game. And obviously they're moving around, but Sargis stayed home quite a bit. He was really, he sparked a lot of offense though with those long balls. I was really impressed by him. Maybe I'm influenced by the narrative of the 17-year-old getting the start at center back, but that's my boy Sargis for sure.
No, man. I have him in my number one.
Woo! Okay.
And it's, you know, I can't say anything that hasn't been said already at this point. I definitely think the narrative of him being 17 is a huge point, but it's a huge point because it's like it's really impressive. He had a hand in our goal. I think that's a good example of what would be considered a key pass, kind of an assist to an assist or a pass that really created the play there. And I just wonder where he's gonna go. Is he gonna leave? But like, with this performance, he's 17. He's gonna be 21. I'm sorry, that's not good math. He's gonna be 20 when we get into the MLS.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we can keep him around because I can see this guy really becoming a like if these performances stick around, yeah. Which I mean, you can't take every individual performance and be like, wow, this guy's going to be a star. But I hope he can continue these performances because I can see this guy becoming like our like Trent Alexander. And if you know who Trent Alexander is, you're a real red for sure. So, yeah. who'd you have as number one?
Yeah. So this is crazy to me. He's not even on your list. I was very surprised by this. I thought I was close between Sargis and this guy, but I mentioned it earlier. Their part of the pitch was just locked down, and Bajarona was also all over the attacking half. I thought Bajarona made, you know, I mean, obviously he had the pass that led to the goal, but he put a lot of passes. He gave the Republic a ton of chances with his crosses, and he was he was strong on defense as well. Bajarona was everywhere on this game. I thought it had to be him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. He just didn't stick out to me, man. He did not stick out to me. I know we heard his name a lot in the commentary, and he did have a good performance, but it didn't stick out to me when I was watching the game.
Interesting.
But I'm glad we had a little bit of contrast there, and I feel like you gave me in Bajarona, you kind of gave me a name to like, hey, like remember this guy, and I feel like I gave you a hey, remember this guy in Andrew Wheeler or Emono.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one. But yeah, I'll also say, by the way, I do know that Bajarona was selected to the championship team of the week on the bench, but he did get some honors for his performance in this game from the league. Don't know how much that matters, but
fantastic.
I think he deserves a little credit. I worry that he, you know, like I said before, he might be a little too enthusiastic with tackles at times, so I think he could get the team in trouble as well, but play a fantastic game as far as I'm concerned. And that's it for us on this game. Do you want to give a little bit of a preview about the next game before we get out of here?
Yeah, just a little bit of little word on our next game against the Las Vegas Lights. I tried to do some research for our fans and do a little bit of watch their last game against LA Galaxy, who I believe we're playing the let me take that back. LA Galaxy 2, who I believe we're playing the week after we play Las Vegas Lights. I wasn't able to watch the game because of the way ESPN Plus is set up. But by all accounts, Las Vegas Lights are not as good as the Sacramento Republic. That's given history and transfer market kind of stuff. The way they play and the way we play, just overall not regarded as a better team. But in this sport, that doesn't mean anything, especially when you're traveling away. So just excited to watch that game on the ESPN Plus stream and bring our listeners some news from that game. And I have a feeling that that one's going to require a little bit more. People aren't going to be as tuned into that one because it wasn't a home game. It wasn't the home opener. It's our first away game. So I have a feeling there aren't going to be as many people that got a chance to watch that one. So I'm excited, and I'm sure Rich is too, to bring you some highlights and some analytics from that game.
Yes, sir. We will be watching, and it is Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., so go ahead and tune into that if you're able, and we will catch you guys next week.
Peace.